So welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker, a compulsive overeater, and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So help me welcome Nancy G. from California.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Jessica, thank you for asking me to speak. And whoever saw me somewhere else and suggested to you, I thank that person and all of you for being here. I love this program, and I am going to start with a prayer because I need my higher power in every moment of every day. So I'm going to use all the names I have here. So God, higher power, spirit of the universe, creative intelligence, czar of heavens, Father of light, our creator, supreme being, creative intelligence, spirit of the universe, ultimate reality, etc. We ask just now for your light and your love to surround, protect, and fill us all with your glory and your joy and your peace and your healing. We're so appreciative of everything you do for all of us, and we just are happy to be part of this community. And God, please help me and help all of us set aside everything we think we know about you, everything we think we know about ourselves, everything we think we know about others, everything we think we know about our own recovery, and everything we think we know about just about everything, so that we can have an open heart and an open mind and a new experience of all of this and a new wonderful relationship with you. Please help us to see the truth. Okay. I'm going to just abbreviate my story because it's not the interesting part of what I and the thing I love the most, but I am just kind of to show you what's going on here. I didn't become a compulsive overeater until after this big day. I lost and gained weight, but I wasn't compulsive about my food. I managed to look like this for a lot of my life. Okay, next. This is what I looked like afterwards. And there's one other pic. Oh, here's another one. Lovely. Oh, this was in China with Wu Wei. And I actually got a directive from a nurse at Kaiser telling me, you know, you really need to do something about your weight, because I'd gotten up to nearly 200 pounds. And so I went to Weight Watchers and a million different things, and I tried a lot of stuff. But what I was doing and the way I was behaving was very much like this woman I heard speak. And she said, I was eating without my own permission. And I went, oh my God, is that step one or not? And I thought, that's what I did. It's like, I would get in my car and I would say, we really shouldn't be doing this. And my car's like, oh, no problem. Let's just go. And we would drive to Target or CVS or a grocery store and pick out different foods. And as I'm walking down the aisle with my basket, I'm saying, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I'm going to be so sorry tomorrow morning. No, it's okay. It's okay. You'll be fine. And that went on for a long time. And then I found another program, lost all my excess weight, did really great, had a calm mind, except that I was selfish and inconsiderate in my head, not out loud, because the people that were in this program were, you know, we would have accountability meetings and different kinds of meetings, and people would be like, I can't stop eating sugar. And for me, it was so easy. I fell into a pink cloud the moment I got in there. And in my head, I'm like, why can't these people just stick with the freaking program? It's so easy, because it was really easy for me. And it 2 years I was judgmental in my head until my higher power was like, oh my God, this girl, we need to like get her off her plinth here and send her into the ditch. I fell off. I wound up eating again, worse than before, gaining most of the weight back that I'd lost. And I was miserable. And then one day I was driving down the road and I pulled over and I said, I need the God piece. I wasn't really sure what I meant, but I'll be 71 next Sunday. And I've been studying spiritual stuff since I was 13. I've been in astrology, numerology, Scientology. I've read a gazillion books. I've taken all sorts of meditation classes. I really felt like I knew my higher power. I knew God. You know, it's like I was good. But what I had done was, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the AA thing where it's like, come all the way in and sit all the way down. I had told my higher power, come on in and hang out by the wall because, you know, I've got so many tools. I'm so good. I can take care of this on my own. And obviously that didn't work. And then when I was so desperate, I was on the side of the road nearly crying, and I called AA because that was the only thing I knew. And I found out there was a meeting near me, and I went to that meeting, and I loved the people. I loved the camaraderie. It was perfect. The not perfect part was giving out cupcakes at the end of the meeting. I'm like, okay, this is not my meeting. This is not where I belong. And I found out about OA, and I went home that evening and I looked online and I found a morning meeting that I've been to since December 19th of last year. It just so happens it's an 11th step meeting. I was looking for God. I found God. The meeting I joined, they never did the steps and the traditions. They only went right into the section that says, you know, we have to stick with the prayer spiritual program of action and not rest on our laurels. And then went into unawakening. And that's what I got. That's what I was, you know, falling in love with for the first month of being in OA. And these people were always talking about the birthday party. And I went, I don't know, what is this birthday party thing? So I wound up going to the birthday party because I'm in Orange County. It's in LA. I figured, you know, it's an hour away. I could easily get there. And I went to only workshops that talked about the program because I still didn't really know or understand the program. So I got up and I actually spoke at one of the first sessions. And this woman came over to me toward the end and she went, would you like to come to dinner with me and my friends? And I went, yes, please. And I went, this is where I belong. I'm feeling so welcomed here. And so I went to dinner with her, met all these people. They were wonderful. And she said to me like a day or so later, listen, if you want a sponsor, and I was like, whatever that was, I would love to sponsor you. And I chose her to be my sponsor. So even though I know I talked about going into the pink cloud when I did the other program, somebody once said to me, not a pink cloud, it's God's grace. When I discovered that I needed this program, I went again, and I've been very lucky. I fell again into God's grace, and I went very neutral with food at the very beginning. And so I think my actual abstinence date is sometime in December, but I say that it's January 15th because that's the day that I got my sponsor and started working with my sponsor. And one of the first things we did when we met, this was just crazy. She said, I was talking to her and I went, oh, I forgot my avocado this morning. I'll just move it to lunch. And she said, no, you won't. And it was like, wait, what? She said, no, you said you were having it at breakfast. You didn't have it at breakfast. You don't get it. And all day long, I'm like, I don't get to have my avocado. I was so excited about it because this program, the level of integrity required in this program was, it felt so perfect to me. It's all I wanted. And so, I worked with my sponsor. I did the steps. I did everything I was asked to do. She was great. And I want to like segue a little bit into this story I just heard. I'm an AA speaker junkie. And I heard this in an AA story just a couple days ago. There was a married couple and they had a baby and then they had another baby. And the first baby was like 3 or 4 years old. And she kept asking to be able to go into the room with the younger baby, you know, by herself. And the parents are thinking, you know, like, oh my God, she's going to kill the baby. And so they had a speaker, you know, the two-way speaker thing in the room. And they finally decided, okay, we need to let her do this. And she went into the room And she leaned over the crib and she said, "Please help me. I'm starting to forget God." And I went, oh, this story, this is it. We come into this world, we forget who we are, and we try to fill that God-shaped hole, as they've called it, with food, with sex, with drugs, with alcohol, with sex, with whatever else is out there. And of course, none of it works. And so I feel like one of the luckiest people on the planet to have found this program, because this program, even though I've done so many other things, I feel like for me, OA is a big jewelry box, and there's room in this jewelry box for all the other things I've done. I'm going to keep those skills I've learned. I love them. They're important to me. But this program saved my life. I was not able to do what I am doing now, which is I am completely abstinent. I have my moments where I think about things from time to time, but I know what I want. And I know that unless I stay abstinent, I can't have what I want. But more than the abstinence, what I want is a connection with my higher power, a connection with, I call my higher power God. That's okay. I know people are really sensitive about that. And I want to be, I want to honor whatever anybody else thinks here, but I call my higher power God. And I call them they, because I figure they're non-binary. So
10 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So what that sort of takes me to where I became a sponsor, which scared the heck out of me, because I thought, I don't know enough about the program. What am I going to do? And yet it was all, you know, Harlan G, some of you know who he is, was like, you better be scared not to sponsor. And I'm like, okay, I will sponsor. And, you know, the first couple times were shaky. And now I'm feeling so blessed and so connected with these women who I'm sponsoring. They're fabulous. I learn from them all of the time. So one of the things that wound up happening after I started sponsoring is I went to see the Prasad Meteor Shower in Tahoe with my sisters. And I've not traveled to certain places because I'm not a bug fan. And we went to the desert, and the first thing I see are these big old black bugs. And my thinking is, oh, thank you for sharing your desert with me. And I'm like, who are you? And I just realized things have shifted without me realizing it. And, you know, we watched the Prasad on Friday night. Saturday night, I went to sleep right after the talk from the astrophysicist. And I set my alarm for 2, got up from 2 to 5 and just watched. And looking at the Milky Way, it was like some kid had taken his or her box of glitter and thrown it up, and it had all stuck. And it was magical. And on top of that were, of course, all of the different constellations, and then the shooting stars on top of that. And then later in the evening, I got to watch the moon rise. It was a crescent moon that night. And this whole thing was blowing me away. And as it got lighter and lighter out, I went, those stars are still there. Everything is still there. I just can't see it because of the ambient light. And I kind of feel a metaphorical tap, tap, tap. And I get the message that your higher power is always here. I am always here. It is your own ambient light, your resentments, your fears, your angers, your judgments, everything. That is your own personal ambient light. You need to do something about it. And it was like, okay. And I just really got it. And prayer and meditation has been so important to me. And there, the AA speaker, her name is Deb H. She has a talk, if you're interested. It's called Addiction, Abuse, and Redemption. She's amazing. She was an alcoholic at 9. She was in program at 15. And she was still, all of the people who were helping her were 60 and 70 years old. And she's, you know, 15, 16 years old. And she goes, she was going to the donut shop. She said her recovery didn't happen in the rooms. It happened in the donut shop. But she would, you know, go in and with her 16-year-old problems, 15-year-old problems, and say, I don't know what to do about it. And somebody would say, did you pray about it? And she'd come in with another one. Did you pray about it? And finally, she said, I don't know how to pray. And somebody pulled her book and said, here, and highlighted all of the prayers and said, pick one, get on your knees and do it. And that's what she did. And then she'd come back to the donut shop and go, hey, you want to hear what I did? And they're all looking at her like, girl, you didn't do any of that. And it was just, this woman, I love listening to her. She's so inspirational. And that was, you know, I mean, I really got that. I went, I need to pray. I need to pray about everything. And I realized at one point, I said, you know what? The promises, the 10-step promise, it has all these amazing things. And then it says, we have sworn off and we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we are in fit spiritual condition. I went, I don't know that I'm in fit spiritual condition, because fit spiritual condition is doing that nightly review. Every day since December 19th, I've read that section in the book, which leaves out the evening review, the nightly review. So I recently started a new group about two and a half, three weeks ago with a couple of other people. And we have anywhere from three, last night there were two of us, from two to like six or seven people. And we, what we do is we get together, we read the promises, we take 10 minutes to do our nightly reviews. And I have sent my sponsor my nightly review every night for 3 weeks. And it's opened up such vistas for me. And it's like, I'm listening as much as I can, as thoroughly as I can for words from my higher power. I was on a Zoom call with my sister. I hung up on her. I was so mad. I was furious. And I went for a walk because I needed to go out and, you know, and I'm like, why am I doing this? It's like, this isn't who I am anymore. I don't get this crazy way. And I was crazy. And you know what, guys, we're human. We're going to have our crazy moments. What we try to do is not take it out on somebody else, because we really don't want to have to do an amends, right? Or a 10th step. Well, have to do the 10th step, but the amends, it's good not to have to do them. So I went for a walk and I listened to an AA speaker, and the AA speaker, for part of it, said he had heard a woman in Reno speak about wanting to get rid of her fear of heights. And she decided she was going to do that by taking the skydiving class, which she did. And then when she was ready to jump out of the plane, she had her sponsees there. She had her ex-husband, her current husband, and her kids. And she jumps out of the plane and her chute malfunctions and she hits the ground really hard. She lived, but she said, and this is a quote from her, apparently, it took her 18 months to learn how to urinate again. So it was tough. She hurt herself, and her husband wound up leaving her, and her ex-husband came back into the picture as a friend and was with her in the hospital one day and said, why did you do that? And she went, what? You mean the skydiving? And he said, yeah. He said, why did you do that? She said, well, I wanted to get over my fear of heights. And he started laughing at her, and she went, what are you laughing at? And he said, well, you know, you could have just asked humbly to have it removed. And I'm like, hey, it's like, we are human aid. We don't know what to do, but God does. To all my sponsees, they're like, what do I do about this? Or what do I go? You can't do anything about that. Just uncover it. You basically, we're tilling the soil. We're getting all that loose stuff out. And then in step 6 and 7, you ask for it to be removed. It will be taken from you and you will get your spiritual experience. But until that happens, you can't do, and you will never be able to do it. Your pain, your anger, your frustration, that cannot be removed by you alone. You need your higher power to do that. It's really, really important that we ask. We ask and ask and ask and pray and do our nightly reviews and make our outreach calls, because it's only when we talk to other people that, number one, we are, as a bunch, isolators. And it's really interesting. All of this, I love the Zoom meetings, but it still allows us to isolate. We can't hug one another. We can't have a little coffee chat at the end or do something like that. And I really encourage, when possible, in-person meetings, though I love these. They're wonderful. I would never, ever want these Zoom meetings to go away. I think they're really, really important. Another thing that had happened to me, I've been getting really bent out of shape lately, and the universe is shaking me up. My higher power is like going, girl, wake up. You're 71. You don't need to be doing all the stuff you've done anymore. You can, you can start taking it easy. Because my nephew has wanted to start taking over some of the stuff with the business, the family business. And I'm like, wait, but does that mean I'm no good? It's like, you know, and I just judging myself over and over. And finally, one day I was screaming and yelling in the car, not to anybody, to myself. And I went, oh, you know, I started saying, well, then I'm going to just start going on vacations and, you know, go around the world and blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, that's a really good idea. And I started reading some of the communications that my nephews had with other people. And I've gone, he's smart. He's 33. I'm 71. He can take the business to another level. He will, when I'm gone, he'll be able to keep this thing going so that it's good for his generation and the next generation. And I can step back in gratitude and appreciation and go on with what God wants me to do next, which might be, you know, 10 sponsees at once. I don't know, but I'm ready for whatever my higher power, whatever God wants me to do for this next phase of my life. And I've also been praying very seriously for specific directions that I will understand. I do not want to have to interpret. So when I pray asking for something, and I do a lot of two-way prayer also, I love, if you haven't tried two-way prayer, oh, it is the best. And there's a crazy group, part of, it's a big book group called the Spiritual Gangsters, and they do two-way prayer twice a day at 5:30 in the morning Pacific and 6 p.m. at night Pacific. And I can get anybody information who wants that, but it's an amazing group where you get to actually do two-way prayer and then get put into a breakout room with two or three other people where you get to read your prayers to other people. And they get, if you want it, they'll give you reflection. And I'm almost always in a room when I do it with people who have similar things to me. And I learn so much from them. You know, it's definitely a we program, but it's also an I program, because only you can meditate for yourself. Only you can ask for clarity. You know, I'll speak for myself. Only I can ask for my own clarity and my own direction. I can't get my clarity and direction from you. So many of us have tried that for so long in our lives. Tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do. Where do you want to go to dinner? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go to dinner? Wait, it's like, where's my own decision making? And I want that back. And I want to see, I have to tell you, when I see my sponsees having breakthroughs and wonderful things happen, I get happier for them than I even do for myself, because it's so much fun to see people recovering and having wonderful experiences. So, but I like to feel messages from God. So, but one other little thing that happened recently, my sister loves to send me things, a different one, not the one I hung up on. And she sent me this journal, and the journal says on the cover of it, expect the most wonderful things to happen. And in the inside, she wrote, that's who you are, Nancy. You always expect the best to happen. And I thought of you immediately when I saw this. And my first reaction was like, oh God, why are you sending me more stuff? And I thought, this is not good. I want to look at everything that happens to me as a blessing. And it was, it's like, here's this person who I respect tremendously telling me that she sees me as somebody who expects good things and focuses on that. When, you know, when things are really challenging in 2016, I wrote a vision for America about America being a loving country with people supporting and caring about one another. And, you know, it's like she took that and ran with it. And it was just, you know, I think sometimes people outside of us see us more clearly than we see ourselves. But if we keep fighting them, we won't get to see what they're seeing. And I meditate. I've upped my meditation. I'm upping my prayer. The set-aside prayer is my favorite. I do it in traffic. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about being on time, everything I think I know about these people in cars who are zipping past me, so that I can have an open heart and an open mind and a new experience of this all. I think it's kind of like my all-purpose cleaner, my all-purpose prayer. Anything else? There are just so many things. I just feel like I think this was kind of a weird thing I thought of today. The reason that we should be doing talks and reaching out and talking to other fellows is it helps us to look at what we don't know, or what we know that we don't know because we've never verbalized it. We all have such a storehouse of information and knowledge, but if we don't verbalize it, if we don't ever say anything, either in writing or to another person, we don't know. We have to say out loud the things that we have experienced and learned, because they haven't been put into the world yet. They're like babies gestating inside of us. And when they come out, they get to not just help the person who's saying them, but the people who are the people who are hearing them. I always get blown away when I'm on a call with someone and that person will say something and I'm like, oh my God, I've been waiting to hear something like, I've been waiting to get this information. Or when they say something like that to me, it's like, we are so here to be for one another. But the only way we can be for one another is to be for ourselves and really hang in there with our, with staying in spiritually fit condition, you know, doing our prayer, doing our meditation, reaching out to our fellows, doing our nightly reviews, doing whatever it takes to make us feel connected with our higher power, because our higher power is all that matters. It's like, at some point, we keep dropping all of the stuff that we're holding on to, and we let it go, and we discover that our lives get easier and smoother because we're listening to our higher power. So I don't have to scream in the car. I can just hear my higher power saying, hey, guess what? You deserve a little rest, and this kid wants to take over. Think about it. It's not a bad idea. And I'm trying more and more. And I know, you know what? This is life. I'm living here on this planet. It's going to be what it's going to be. I'm going to have the experiences that I'm going to have, but I pray every single day, and multiple times a day. And to, thank you. I multiple times a day for guidance, because I want that guidance. I used to think if I get guidance, if I take it from God, then I haven't come up with it. And that makes me somehow less than. No. When I partner with God, I become more powerful, more capable, more loving, kinder, more in tune, more with the people I'm with. It's like, I love the difference between now and compulsive overeating. I'd go to a party and I'd sit there and I'd be sort of talking to somebody, but looking at what's in the candy dishes and what's the food is there. Now I can really be with people. And the more I get with my higher power, the more my higher power and I feel like a team, really, the more I can be with other people and the more I can really appreciate and love them and see who God has them in his heart. And the bottom line is, God, how would you have me be in this moment? How would you have me be with this person? How would you have me be now? What is the best thing for me to think, to do, to be? And I no longer feel like I'm giving up myself by connecting with my higher power. I just feel better, calmer, more loving, more peaceful, more myself. Funny that, you know, when we give up ourselves to join with our higher powers, we become more of ourselves, because none of us, we're not going to become automatons, you know, being little God people walking around. We're going to be who we are, but without all the garbage. You know, that's what that is wonderful about the fourth step and 10 steps. It's like, we're getting rid of all that stuff. We're allowing ourselves to be purely who we are. And I think on that note, I'm done. I really appreciate you all letting me share. I appreciate all the people here who are doing service tonight and everybody who's in these rooms, and God bless us all.
Thank you so very much, Nancy.